I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
With all due respect to the city for opening those warming centers, no one uses them. I'm just being honest. We went to all of them in years past and they're empty. I'll tell you why. The homeless folks go to their shelters. And the homeless folks that don't want to be sheltered, they live on the streets. They won't go in there. And senior citizens aren't taking a bus from their house to those warming centers. And I guess they kind of sort of have to have them, but no one uses them. I've been in them where, I've been to four in one day where the only people in there were the employees, so you know.
Do you ever stop speaking?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, yes. When did you decide to turn your entire career over to harassing homeless people? I remember at one point you were a journalist.
Yeah, thank you. Ask the father, John, of the homeless man that we got into rehab and saved his life. Ask him about that while you judge from your computer, sir. Judging homeless people. We go out there and engage and identify and get them help. If you don't like that, that's your problem, sir. What do you do? Whine. Meantime, we're trying to protect senior citizens. Something happened. Wow. This scared the hell out of me, by the way. Something happened this weekend that, wow. You got to hear this. As we talk about granny cams, you got to hear this. Sir, talk to the father whose daughter we found high at a cemetery who he hadn't seen in 3 years. Talk to him, sir, about homeless people and what you're doing to help. Jag off. Braden, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Wow. This development over the weekend is scary, man. Scary as hell.
It happened Saturday. Pardon me.
Lay it out as we talk about granny cams and why they're important.
Well, Mary Grubhofer at the Sugar Vale Lodge personal care home was killed. She's 60 years old. She was killed by Diane Diven, who is 48.
Wow.
I don't know what Diane's doing in the nursing home, whether she works there or not.
No.
But if a granny cam room, it may have prevented this. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
No. She was a resident. I want to establish that.
Mary, yeah, Grubhofer was.
Yes, both of them. Both of them.
Oh, okay.
So, the danger here is, my man, is in the personal care homes, they have even less supervision, do they not?
There's hardly any.
None.
That's why we want to get granny cams in there.
So, what happens in the personal care home, quite frankly, Braden, is oftentimes they're left alone, period. Doors open, in and out access, scary as hell, right?
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
And wouldn't granny cams provide a certain level of protection even then?
It would be a great level of protection for the people. I mean, it gives real-time alerts. They can set up motion detector at night.
Yep.
That if somebody there, it sends an alert to a family member. family member can call the home during the day. It deters potential attackers because of its own visual presence. It's, you know, there's active intervention through two-way audio. They also have sirens, too. And everything can be done with the resident over the air. They can call for help.
Yep. No matter where you've gone, you've had pushback. Complete total.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Trespass from a place that I know very well.
You've been labeled a criminal, threatened with arrest, just by trying to protect residents. Have you not, sir?
My photo and a friend of mine is at the front desk. If we come up there, we are supposed to be, they're going to call the police to arrest us. Nothing wrong.
Why? Why do they want to arrest you, sir?
Well, because they're afraid of us giving the residents their security cameras.
Right. Right.
Now, what do they have to be afraid of? If you're not doing anything wrong, what do you have to be afraid of?
So this weekend, one resident murdered another at a personal care home. No supervision,
right.
No cameras, nothing. And a woman is dead, sir, right?
Yeah, exactly right. Stabbed
to death.
Where'd she get the knife?
In the kitchen, I presume. And what happens in the personal care homes, as I have found out, they mix mentally ill folks with senior citizens, sir, all the time.
Yes,
sir. All the time.
Yes. One crawled into bed with my grandmother.
What? What?
Yeah. Yep. He didn't know what was going on. She started screaming for help.
Where?
Right up here.
In a personal care home.
In a personal care home.
Jesus. And how did it play out? Was the woman mentally ill?
No, the man was mentally ill. My grandmother, well, no, she was okay. But she was scared to death.
Wow.
She screamed, yo, what are you doing in my bed? You know, and luckily a nurse heard. And she come in. But what if the nurse wasn't there?
Right on. And why can't we have cameras? Tomorrow, sir, Marla Brown, Republican, Newcastle, who wants this to happen, granny cams, we got her live, noon.
Let's Representative Mark Brown has an uphill battle. God bless her, and you also.
Thanks, my man. You're the best.
Mm-mm.
Let's get this done.
Nope.
Thanks, Braden.
Thank you, sir.
My man. I love him. You know why? He cares. We are not going to quit till these granny cams are everywhere. Period. End of story.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, change makers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I love the people that call and say, why won't you stop reporting on the homeless? Because I can't. Sorry. Spent the weekend talking to the owner of a jazz club downtown, Con Alma. Okay? John. A homeless mentally ill man who's high destroyed the business, the front of it, everything. Busted everything. Everything. And now, that same wonderful homeless man you're talking about is facing no recourse. None. None. Somehow this notion that they're these sacred cows and we should what? Kowtow to them. So a man can destroy a business, which he did, Colin Alma, great jazz club, that has had so much damage and so many robberies and so much harassment, they're thinking about closing. Come around the corner from Colin Alma, and there's a restaurant that every single day, homeless, mentally ill people defecate in the doorway. John, who says, I don't like homeless people. What I don't like about homeless people is that two things. Number one, the constant offenders that will not accept treatment, period. That will not accept shelter, period. That will not stay in jail, period. Yes, I resent that. And I resent that we accept that as the norm in Pittsburgh. Patrick showing on the stream right now, the garbage and broken tables and broken pots and the destruction of the outside of the restaurant on Penn Avenue downtown. The owner of Colin Alma says, I can't last much longer. Two restaurants right around the corner. Is it Redbeard's? The general manager sent me a text. He fights homeless people at 4 a.m. in front of his business that are out of their minds drunk and high. Sir, at some point, we have to make certain of one or two things. One, we offer them help. Two, if they refuse help, we give them one or two choices. Mental health treatment and or jail. There is no walk away anymore. At some point along the way here, we have to understand that they're creating a massive problem for America and Pittsburgh. I took video of a path of fecal matter along Fifth Avenue downtown, where the homeless have decided to crap every day, John. So for you to suggest that I don't care is rather ironic, when in fact, the city and the society we have today doesn't care enough. Using Brian Clay as an example. Brian, mental illness and addiction. Brian has been arrested nearly 300 times. That's no typo. 300 times. Brian has addiction issues. Brian has mental illness issues. We found him on the streets and interviewed him. He begged for help. It's a true story. We got him help. His brother called me and said he's getting help. It's about a month ago. And his brother said, I'm hoping he turned his life around. I get a text this morning from one of my boys. Brian Clay is back in jail and in front of a judge. Public in talks, theft, harassment, defiant trespass, public drunkenness. John, for you to suggest that I don't care displays your ignorance, not mine. I have begged the new mayor and the new police chief to engage the homeless and the mentally ill to, number one, get them help. And number two, if they refuse help, take them to a place where they can get it. Leave them no choice. We cannot accept the current environment of, oh, well, he won't go to a shelter. Oh, well, he refuses help. One man, 300 arrests. I've never seen anything like it in my life. What will happen is they will have a hearing for him. He will get 2 to 3 days of treatment. He'll be back out on the streets. Hey, Patrick, when we talked to him, he admitted he had issues.
Oh, yeah.
He admitted he had problems. Yep. Yet he's back out committing crimes again.
He admitted he had problems and no interest in fixing them at the time.
And this time, he was trespassing at a Giant Eagle drunk. Would you want a drunk man who's mentally ill, who's been arrested 300 times, confronting you or your mother at a Giant Eagle? For John, who said, I've dedicated my career to picking on the homeless, would love to know your solution. Would love to know what you've done to try and help people. And then there's William. Man. We got him in a zombie state on video downtown, high as a kite. We reached out to the best addiction specialist in the world. We hooked them up with William's father. And since then, we've had him hospitalized a half a dozen times, at least. And he walks out of rehab. And according to his wonderful father, who didn't even know where he was until we identified him on video, according to his wonderful father, he's right now roaming the streets of Pittsburgh again, either high as a kite or overdosed. It's just sickening.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, change makers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Dangerous cold, like legit a dangerous cold. Tony, go ahead, man.
Yeah, hi, Marty. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
two quick things. I'm, and I hope I'm coming clear because I had to use my cell phone. I'm sitting here with no lights.
Whoa, why? Why?
Well, I guess because the wind blew out, and it's going to be, I guess, another hour or so before they put it on.
Oh.
You know, but the offices are closed and they had to use the emergency number.
Oh.
But the reason why I'm calling.
Hold on. Where are you at?
I'm on Northside.
Oh, wow. Is it the whole neighborhood?
Yeah, I just got in about 10, 15 minutes ago.
Wow. We had snow squalls. And I heard that, so that must have done it. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. But the reason why I called is I saw your thing on Facebook about the ice thing over on the south side. And one of the addresses you gave on South 15th Street, I know that's changed to the East End.
Yeah.
But that address you gave on South 15th Street, that was my church over there. So what is it behind that? And why is it that address that whoever picked to have that ad there?
They moved it. They moved it. I don't know. Thanks, Tony. I also didn't know people were losing power, but it makes sense with all this wind. Thanks, brother. Wow. Meantime, speaking of power, man, we had a day on Saturday. Very emotional day. And a magnificent day about need and about making a difference and about changing lives. Amazing, emotional stuff. Putting furnaces in 20 homes. Right in the heart of it, Jeff Vandegrift with Attuti Mechanical. Hey, brother, how are you?
Pretty good today. How you doing, Marty?
It's a hell of an event, right?
It's a pretty big deal. And to tell you, the mood in the office today is uplifting, is an understatement.
But,
After all we did on Saturday, spirits are pretty high around here, you know?
So, a couple things. How the hell do you pull off 20 furnaces in one day? Wow.
There's a lot of moving parts in terms of the logistics of it all. And we have a big crew. I mean, we had 200 plus on Saturday.
Come on.
For our one-day miracle. So, it's people with big hearts who...
Yep.
Take the time out of cold Saturday morning to go out and make a positive change in the lives of these people that we're helping. It's pretty powerful to be a part of.
My man, I was in homes. People were crying. Didn't have heat for 2 years. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, same. I after our kickoff, I went out and visited a few homes, and it was the same thing. Like, people are crying. People are hugging. You know, it's life changing, and
yeah.
You know, people get dealt with these bad hands. You know, and it's like it starts with one thing, and then there's another thing, and then oh, my heat is out,
yeah.
And then it's another thing, and it's like, how do you get back into the groove of positivity? And it's hard for people when they're down like that. And hopefully, this one thing, this one good deed that we're doing, inspires just enough hope for them to continue to have goodwill moving forward. You know, things, if we can do one thing better, then the next thing will get better. And it has sort of a domino effect. So every little bit that we can do to impact the lives of those who need it most, I mean, that's what we do, and that's why we do it.
Jeff V from Tootie. So we're in the basement. There's 20 people down there. You're putting in a furnace.
Yep.
What was beautiful? You have these kids gathered around, and one of your gurus is doing the install, and he's telling them what's happening, and their eyes were bugging out. In other words, it's also a teachable moment about experiencing something grand, right?
For sure.
Right?
And it's not just the mechanics of it.
No.
Like, obviously, you can definitely learn that, but it's showing them that giving a damn about what you're doing,
yeah, yeah.
And the people that you're doing it for, how much of an impact that can have, and how it can really pass the baton to the
yeah.
next generation who otherwise, you know, they don't know what goes on
True.
In a home or
True.
what it takes to
True.
Maintain a furnace or anything like that. But for them to see that and for them to be inspired by it has this long lasting effect that hopefully we'll keep Heat for the Needy going for the next 50 years. You know?
Hey, my man. So you gave away 20 furnaces. All told,
yeah.
You've given away 400. But am I right? You could have given away 200 furnaces Saturday. There's that much need.
There's that much need.
Yeah.
We had over 200 nominations
yeah.
for this year's campaign, which is the highest level of need we've seen
yeah.
in as many years as I've been doing this. And it's exponentially higher
yeah.
than it's been in the past. And I think part of it, one is it's tough out there.
Yep.
But two is we're casting such a broad net that I think awareness is higher. People are more aware there's programs like ours. There's stuff that you can get through the utilities and through the state. Like, people are, because they're down,
yep,
and the need is higher, people are more apt to ask for help than sometimes they often aren't.
Hey, my man, what's scary is there are 50-year-old furnaces that are blowing dangerous fumes today, and people are living in these homes, yep, right? Right?
For sure. Yeah, we had, like, one of our recipients, she was getting these chronic headaches,
yep,
and she couldn't figure out why. Doctor's like, I don't know why you're getting a headache. Someone came and looked at her furnace. It's like, yeah, you have a cracked heat exchanger. You're poisoning yourself every time your heat is running. That's a pretty big deal. Like, from a health and safety standpoint, that's a huge deal. And that's happening, and people don't even realize it. So for us to be able to take care of that for her and so many others, it really is a pretty powerful thing in terms of taking away that risk so that they can try to live their lives again.
Tell you what's also cool. This is Jeff Vandegrift with the Tootie. Your vendors have bought in, donated everything this year. Pretty friggin' cool, yeah. Weather. Pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool to see the outpouring of support as the program has continued to grow over the past 27 years. We see more and more people with great hearts,
yes,
who have, you know, similar values as our company does, and really want to have an impact in the community and are dedicated to giving back.
Yes.
They see the change that we're making and they want to be part of it. And we're so honored and blessed to have such great business partners who want to be a part of it.
My man, Jeff Vandegrift, thanks, brother. It's a hell of a day. It's a blessing.
Thanks, Marty. I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys being here Saturday. It was a great day.
Man, we posted videos. Over 100,000 people have watched them so far. Pretty cool.
It's awesome.
You're
it's
my really man. Awesome. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
There's nothing quite like a moment when you go into a house with little kids and they haven't had a furnace in 2 years. That's where it hits your heart, man. And they're freezing under blankets and they have dangerous space heaters. And two of these people swoop in like Superman and change their lives. It is a one-day miracle, man. We're at a weird time in America with the ICE protests, the anti-ICE protests. Because what happens is all these morons that want media attention, really don't want to do anything, just want media attention, using that a-hole Don Lemon as an example, washed up, idiotic liar, fired from CNN. Did you see the video he shot? Man, he walked into a church in Minnesota with a bunch of anti-ICE protesters and took over their service. It was so ignorant, man. Folks, it's all theater. And the idiot with the umbrellas, driving to these scenes and handing umbrellas to Range Rover white women to hold up to block the pepper spray balls from ICE. Come on, man. What are we doing here? And you know what they do? They go to the entrance to the federal building where ICE works, and they throw things at the ICE agents. It's ignorant, man. One motive. Theater. That's it. That's it. We started off the show this morning with a man who says that's going to happen here. I hope not, man. I hope not. The other thing that troubles me, the trivial ICE arrest that they make, the freak out. So one of my boys sends me some details that there's an accident in Middlesex, PA. Okay. And that the folks who had the car accident who left the scene, they think are illegals. ICE does. Okay. Okay. And I care why? Because now you claim that anyone illegal commits crimes like this. As I pointed out to him, every year, there are 900,000 unsolved hit-and-run accidents. The vast majority are Americans. I get that ICE looks bad. Amateurish, actually. Lack of training. Lack of numbers. No real direction. The video of their director, this, what's his name, Bovine, or whatever the hell his name is, right? Bovino, or walking down the street like George Patton, ordering people out of the street is gross. It's gross. This whole we're going to get you thing that ICE is now trying to portray is horrible. Both sides suck. Both sides are over the line. Both sides overreact. And these traveling paid protesters. Jesus, man. When did you lose your way? That the best thing you can do with your life is drive to a city, because you notice every single video is coming out of Minneapolis. Every single one. Organized. Militarized. And now, these idiots who hate ICE have guns. That's a bad idea. And they stand outside with their gun, prepared to do what? Shoot an ICE agent. Is that the plan? Horrible. And now we hear that this training will occur in Pittsburgh tomorrow. Patrick signed up, but they won't give you a location. Why? Why? What are they afraid of? What are they hiding? Patrick, what did they say? No location.
It just says for safety reasons, they're going to email out a location closer to the time.
What the hell does that mean?
But the general area, they say, is the East End.
And the gentleman we had on the air, 10:30 this morning, said he went to the training. And he said every single person in that training, their goal was to get arrested. Didn't he say that?
He did. And he said he thinks it's going to look like what we're seeing in Minneapolis.
I don't believe
that. Which I hope not.
We haven't seen one incident like that in Pittsburgh. Not no. one. Let's hope he's wrong. At the end of the day, yes, they're oil illegals. And yes, they need to be deported. And yes, they're breaking the law. But this approach and the way it's playing out sucks for all of us. It's a bad look for ICE, for local police, for local governments, and especially for these moronic, low IQ protesters who just want to get arrested and beaten. Seriously. All they want to do is blow a whistle and scream. It's aggravating as hell. A guy spit in the face of an ICE agent. It made me sick. And then, can't believe he was arrested. Who raised that young man? To which I say, is this as good as it gets? It gets. And I'll leave you with a quote, my favorite, from the greatest civil rights leader in American history, Martin Luther King Jr. Nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Beautiful stuff. And spot on. MLK Jr., the man.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.